This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
It's time once again for a splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at Three Hollers Down, wink wink, get it? The beautiful Buckatorium, lovely New Windsor, Illinois. It's so weird saying that, but this is the new studio. This is the same Working Class Bowhunter podcast that you have all either come to know and love or just loved to shit talk on some random website. We're not going to give that website props, but I am Steve.
Archery Talk sucks.
All right, it's Archery Talk. All right. There's Kurt.
Hey, guys.
Douglas.
Yo.
Tank, intern Tank.
Hey, how's it going?
Papa Dave's sitting in. He's not on mic, but he's here.
He's just hanging out.
He's here in spirit.
Hey, Steve, what am I? Chopped liver over here? What about me?
Oh, what about you?
What about me?
Our first guest in the studio is a dinosaur. He was our first guest ever, and it's fitting that he's our first in-studio guest at the new place, Moneybags Mark Reif.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
The old man is back.
Damn.
It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, right?
A lot has changed. Me and Mark work together occasionally.
Yeah.
Hey, weird. The first time you were on our show was episode 6.
Was it? Yeah, I was thinking it was...
Yeah, that was a while back. Yeah. And this is 331.
Wow, man.
Whoa. Woof. Which is crazy.
A while ago.
Pretty cool. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, you've been on in between, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm out at the new place. First time out at the new house. Cool. Looks great, man. Love it.
Yeah. We got a lot of construction to do.
Yeah.
A lot of outlets to add.
Sorry, we
wood,
had
wood, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Got some wood.
Yeah. Sorry we had to blindfold you when we brought you in, but we can't let everybody know where we're at, so.
It's a secret. Hey, you got a veteran shout out?
I do. Matter of factly. All right, the vet shout out this week is Jim Campbell. It was sent in by a good buddy, Jed Larson. He wanted to say MSG, which I believe is Master Sergeant. Correct me if I'm wrong. MSG, Jim Campbell was a huge influence for me to start bow hunting with all of his stories about chasing bears in the Cascades. Wow. Jim spent most of his career serving in the 1st Special Forces Group, and I've never seen anyone care for soldiers the way that he has. Jim is approaching retirement. Or he may have already retired by the time we read this. Thank you for faithful work, and don't kick my ass for submitting this if you ever hear this. So, hey, want to give a shout-out once again to Jim Campbell. Thank you for your service to this country, dude. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you. Man, guys, don't forget to send in those veteran shout-outs. Go to workingclassbowhunter.com. There's a tab under the contact tab. You can send them in. They go straight to me. So if I miss anything, it's my ass.
As always.
Steve learned not to have me say that anymore. That's a fact.
I did. Hey, I'm learning.
That's nice. That's nice. Also, I'm very I'm not like real sick. I just have a really bad cough, so I apologize in advance. I'll try to get away from the mic or just mute myself when I cough. We have kind of something different this episode. We have a PSA, and it's going to force us to have to get through our advertisers, our sponsors, our partners faster than normal.
Worth it.
It's just something we had to do for this. It's like this new thing on the scene they really wanted us to like to play it on. But anyway, HHA Sports, the show is – they're our title sponsor. The show is presented by HHA Sports. We talk about them all the time. WCB15 on HHASports.com. I think we're all shooting the Tetra. You shooting a Kingpin, Mark?
What? Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All good sites. Also, Scent Crusher. The Room Clean, we have that rocking in here all the time. Ozone Go, the gear bag.
Coming in hot right
Closet
now.
Is a, closet's a hot commodity. If you don't have one by now, make sure you get one for next season, dude. They're a life changer.
It's about that bag.
The bag. The bag is the best, in my opinion.
Got to secure that bag.
The podcast also brought to you by North American Whitetail Championship, Thermoset, Victory Archery, Can Cooker. Steve's got a great recipe next episode coming up from Can Cooker. Elite Archery, Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Use code WCB on everything on that store. And the Ambush just launched. And also episode 4, November, just launched the DeQuisto Series podcast, which is cool. Big Time, Hunters and Hunters Blend Coffee. And why I'm thinking of it, go check out our video podcast on carbon. We just had one launched with the Bone Collector Boys.
I was going to say something if you weren't, because that was on my mind.
We're terrible at promoting our own show.
Dude, it's like, if you guys know about it, you know, find it.
Okay, so one of those things, a while back we did another, like, we had to do a PSA. I don't know. This was a long time ago when some stuff went down in the hunting industry with a certain individual that got in trouble. And we had this company approach us and force us to do this PSA, and we sold out a little bit. They paid us a ton of money. And this one.
Wait, you guys got paid?
Well, the business got paid.
Oh, okay, okay.
So we got to. This is kind of awkward. We apologize for this. It's just something we got to do. We haven't even listened to it yet, but we just. It's something they do every now and again with hunting podcasts. And they basically approached us and said, hey, can you play this PSA or this ad or whatever, and we'll give you a lot of money. We're like, well, we don't really do that. Okay, yeah, we'll do it.
Our hands are tied.
So I'll just quit talking. We'll play this, get it over with, and then we'll meet Steve on the other side with a new segment, and then we'll jump in the episode. Is that fair, guys? Okay.
Perfect.
We would like to introduce you to a new prescription medication, Buzz Bracofen. Buzz Bracofen is used to cure chronic prostaph syndrome. If you think yourself, a friend, or a loved one is suffering from prostaph syndrome, please consult a reality check immediately.
Symptoms of having prostaph syndrome, also known as PSS, include two or more staffs listed under your Facebook occupation section while not actually being paid by them, placing more than three items in front of a recently harvested animal for photos, posting more product plugs than actual content of what you do, giving overly confident advice online with no evidence to support it, bragging about the deer you passed this season, giving yourself a nickname, bragging about your 8-mile hike in the Midwest. Started in podcast in 2019.
What the fuck?
Asking to be on a podcast. Excessive use of hashtags. Making PSAs on your podcast and thinking you're cooler than you actually are.
What?
Promoting a product like they're holding your kid's ransom. Arguing about broadheads online. Thankfully, there's a cure.
Buzz Bracofen is a 6-time daily anal suppository that can completely cure prostaph syndrome in just 48 weeks.
In your butt?
That's only 2016 pills right up the poop chute. Please consult your insurance company and have a reality check to see if Buzz Bracofen is right for you. So So
that was weird, really weird. All right, let's get on back with the show.
Okay. Did we
worth the money?
Wasn't that before we released it?
Yeah,
worth the money. I don't know. Dude, money was good enough. We don't have to listen.
$20.
We might get some angry emails, but we are working on a referral bonus. So please send those emails.
All right, sink this podcast even further into the dirt before we get Mark on. Poor Mark. People are shutting your episode off before they even get to the goods.
Come on, Steve.
Mark is 9 episodes behind. He doesn't know what happens on the news segments yet.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm with you. Hurry right, up and do your silly news.
The news right. segment that's right. always on the brink of getting canceled
do it,
forever.
Yeah. Do it through the intro?
This one might do it, please. This may be the final news segment.
Let's do it really fast.
Are you ready? Here's Steve with the news.
Thank you for that express intro. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
In news this week, the EPA has reauthorized the use of M44 cyanide bombs for managing predators. That's right. Do you guys know what M44 cyanide is? Well, let me explain it to you. M44 cyanide bombs work by using a bait in a canister of cyanide. A piece of meat will be on the ground with a spring-loaded canister that is set off by pressure of the animal eating the bait. Cyanide is then launched in the air directly into the animal's mouth. I'm serious, it's a heart attack. This tactic is extremely effective and kills predators instantly. These traps are only temporarily approved, and a final decision is expected to be reached in 2021. While outcry for such cruel ways of killing predators is under scrutiny, my theory is that the deer have finally infiltrated the federal government.
God damn.
Thank you. 15,000-year-old mammoth traps show signs of first hunters. Archaeologists unearthed the 5-foot-deep, 82-foot-wide pits in Tutelepec outside of Mexico City in an area that was going to be used as a dump. Huh, hilarious. According to Mexico's National History of Institute of Anthropology and History, man, all I got to say is a good thing the holes that house the hundreds of 15,000-year-old mammoth bones, leading the scientists to deduce that they were purposely ensnared in the quarry. This has led speculation that the very first hunting phrase to ever be uttered was "That'll yabba dabba do."
That was pretty good.
Doug's the only one that enjoyed that one.
I'll give you that one.
But what, you guys don't know that Fred Flintstone was the hallmark of hunting? Okay.
Boo.
Every time you do these, I want to cancel them.
They're on the brink. All right. And according to South Dakota Big Bucks, a man shot into a high fence hunting area preserve and killed a monster buck. He proceeded to climb the fence and took a picture with the buck. He then removed the head, threw it over the fence, and left the meat to rot. At some point in time, the picture made its way onto social media. South Dakota Big Bucks, a Facebook group, was able to get in contact with the owner of the game farm and confirm it was his deer in the picture. While not confirmed, my suspicion is that when they confiscate the deer, they will also likely find hundreds of thousands of Fear No Evil DVDs and T-shirts.
Damn.
That's
the guy can't get a break.
Guys, and that's, yeah, that's the news for this week.
I'll have to get a hold of the Buckstorm boys from South Dakota and see if they know anything about that. Maybe we might find out one of their videos.
Yeah. Public land hunting. Luckily, we hunt next to a game preserve.
Yeah. Public land giant.
Hey, how do you kill a giant? So I usually get a pair of bolts and or bolt cutters and go nuts.
Let them loose.
Let the fuckers loose. It's like, dude, man, did you see that fucking giraffe running the plains? It's like, yeah, they smoked him.
Anyway, those news segments... Keep them or trash them. Let us know.
What are your thoughts?
I'm leaving. I'm on 70%. Get the fuck rid of them.
Yeah. I love that 30%.
I'm heading towards the recycle bin on that one.
Yeah. You're thinking there's something worth saving.
Yeah, you know, like when you like are organizing your desktop and you drag that one folder right next to the recycle bin, you haven't yet.
you set it next to it.
Yeah, that's where you're at with the news segment.
It's like every guy that'll throw clothes next to the clothes bin.
You can always drag it in there, but you know it's serious when you empty your recycle bin after it's been in there. Anywho, Mark, what's up?
No, man, nothing. Just hunting.
Get closer to that mic.
Yeah, just hunting hard like crazy. Got a few days off work, so getting after it. Trying to do some all day sits and. Had a good start to the season, so now I just got to wait for a giant.
Well, let's talk about I think the last time you were on, we ended up having stickers, and it was the famous "What about me?"
Oh, that wasn't the last time.
Yeah. I think it was.
No, I was on with Julian about taxidermy.
Oh yeah, that's
time.
Right. Okay. It was almost exactly a year ago. Okay, I forgot you were on with that Julian episode. That Julian cat. I forgot you were on that episode too.
Yeah. So you've been on, but. You've been the guy. You complain a lot, Mark, about "What about me?" Of course, that's what you're known for. Moneybags, Mark Rife, quickly turned into "What about me?" Mark Rife.
Yeah, it did.
But now you had the opposite of "What about me?"
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You said
guys.
About "What about you, motherfucker?" Yeah.
It went from "What about me?" to "Where the fuck y'all at?"
Yeah, can keep up, boys. Yeah.
The old man is putting on a clinic for us.
What about us now?
Yeah.
What about us?
What about us, Mark?
Yeah. Apparently, I stumbled onto a solid phrase. I would use it. It works.
Well, you know what? You know, what about us? I'm gonna say that right now You're the only one in here who's killed a buck this year, and we're recording this November 7th.
Shit. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, who had ever thought that would have happened in my little spot, huh?
You hope for it every night.
Yeah.
Well, let's give the people the update. I don't know if we talked about this before, but you basically did – you achieved and earned a dream that most people dream about in attaining your own spot.
Yeah. I got lucky. A customer of mine, when I did taxidermy, a friend of mine, he called me up and said, "Hey, I heard you're looking for a little piece of ground." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I've talked about it to some people." And he knew a friend that was a friend of mine. And he apparently told him when they ran into each other. And so I said, "Well, what you got?" And he told me, "Oh, I got 20 acres of timber." And that's all it is. No buildings, no fields, just straight up timber. I said, "Well, where's it at?" And he told me, and I said, "Oh, boy, yeah. That's something I got to see." So he took me and my dad out there, and we went for a walk, and my dad's eyes were like bowling balls, like, "Dude." So anyway, I was pretty excited.
And when did you check this out? Was it in the summer?
No, I think it was still cold. Yeah, it was still cold out.
Because you've owned it for a full year now.
Yeah, this will be my second year owning it. I got to hunt it last year for the first time.
Yeah.
So I ended up actually purchasing 20 acres in April of last year, the year before. So, yeah, I got to do a little bit of work to it and then hunt it 1 year and almost got a giant twice. I mean, like, squeezing the trigger close and it just didn't, it just didn't step out and things happened, but... That's a story for another time, but super happy. Got something that's hooked to thousands of acres on both sides, and it's just gnarly billy goat country, so there's big deer out there.
That's awesome.
So finally.
That is awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah.
Now I'm almost 50, and I finally got somewhere I can actually say is I can hunt it, and nobody can tell me no, and I can do plant food plots, cut this tree, do that, whatever I want, so...
You got a big comfy box blind out there.
Yeah,
now.
Man, I'm getting old.
Everyone's talking about how cold it was. He's like, "Man, it was hot as shit."
I've been there eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the heater on.
Did you run a heat pump to that thing, Mark?
No. We're not that elaborate.
Mark's got a rooftop unit on that thing.
That's awesome. That is cool. Because, you've been seeing some good deer out there. Good deer. Cool.
I saw a good one today, actually. 3.5-year-old, probably 130-ish, 8-pointer.
In person?
Yeah, he was 15 yards from me. So, but I passed because
how big was he?
Probably 130, almost as big as the one I got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little smaller, but a solid 3.5-year-old 8-pointer sure. Yeah, if I wouldn't have shot this one already, I would have shot him.
So have you killed a deer on your property yet?
Not yet.
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, that makes it a little tougher.
So, but you don't have to, though. It's yours.
I know, and that's the thing. See, I got two out there that I'm dying to shoot, especially one. He's giant. But,
he's mine, baby.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He's creeping in on my territory.
Mark,
what does that mean? I'm missing something.
Must be missing the chat.
Yeah, have you not seen the chat? So Mark, his new property and the new property I got are, fly as a crow. Dude, they got to be a mile away from each other, right?
Yeah, they're not very far.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty close. It might be 2 miles.
It's within 2 miles, probably. Yeah.
But,
I'm about to do knocking on some doors and shaking hands, kissing babies.
Hey, can I kiss your baby? It's like, it's like, what does this weird guy want? Hey, can I hunt your property? Yeah. I'll talk to the
husband. Anything. Just get the fuck away from us.
Stop kissing my child.
Kiss your baby already. What's the problem?
So, yeah, I told him one time, he said he was going out to hunt that spot. And I said, you better stay away from Buck Norris, son.
Buck Norris?
So his next message back to me is, Buck Norris is getting spined, dude.
Let's spine him, dude. I got that. There's no way, dude. If I'm going to put a bad shot on a deer, he's dropping where he's at. I'm kidding. I would never, ever do that.
So anyway, I'm super excited. You know, it lays out. It's tough to hunt. It's 20 acres, but there's really only a few ridge tops and super gnarly. So you really can't hunt down in the bottom because the wind swirls unless you get like a ground or a tower blind. So I ended up, you know, doing that and got a muddy and the stand that goes on. So, and I've had deer all around me in the last 2 weeks. And I have not been busted yet. I'm surprised at how good it works.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I'm serious. If you got a place with the wind swirls constantly and you know it's a funnel or something, and this is a big funnel by a creek and it goes up both sides super steep. So you go east and west right along this creek. And so I'm like, yeah, it's going to happen. I just got to wait.
Is your box blind elevated?
Yeah, it's got a 10-foot. Angle iron stand underneath it.
No shit.
Comes with it. Yeah, it's sweet, dude. Yeah.
See, I want to get one for my daughter. I mean, it's a few years, but I just something that's I can just take her for an hour and then get her slowly used to it.
That's exactly, it's
or perfect. When it's brutal fucking cold, like just a spot to go sit. Like my dad and I talk about it all the time. Like if it's pouring rain, you can at least be out there and be, you can see what's going on. You're out there.
Yep. So, snowing, windy as hell those days when it's just brutal to be out there.
Is that where your dad's gonna hunt then too?
So that's the other reason I got it too. You know, he's getting a little older and I figured get old pops up in the blind and see if he can get one. He's never been lucky enough to kill a big deer, so that's kind of my goal. So, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah, I know a buddy of ours, he's got a couple of shadow hunter blinds, our buddy Doug Hood, who he's and it's for mostly his father, so they can he can go out and go shoot a deer. And those are very nice, you know, if you've got, you know, someone who obviously doesn't want to go out or you want to try to introduce them to go out. And I've hunted in one. It was nice because it kept the wind off you. But the running joke is, like, I love hunting out of ground blinds and the shadow hunters. They were nice, but I felt like I was so closed off. Like, I couldn't see everything that was happening around me. Like, I didn't feel like I was as connected as I want to be because I'm chasing.
I hate ground blinds in general.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I hate ground blinds. I was worried about it too. I was. And I'm like, I'm not going to like doing this because I never liked ground blinds before. And so anyway, I got up in there and I'm like, yeah, you still got to look left, look right, look left, look right. And things are in your way and you're squatting and looking, you know, and it was uncomfortable. And I'm, you know, for me, old school, I'm like you guys, you know, I want to hang high in the tree and rough it and,
see everything,
be out, you know, that's just how I've always been. But now it's like this place is the place where all the bucks cruise through.
Yeah,
I have to. There's no way I can hunt that wind.
Does it feel uneasy with a really strong wind? Does it feel like it's going to blow over?
No, I've got it. There's great big spikes that come with it. You drive in each corner, and then it's got a big screw eyelet you screw into the ground like 2 feet.
Oh, and that cable that comes all the way down.
And then you bring the cable down, and you use a turnbuckle and tighten it.
The cable
down straight to the bottom of the frame. Yeah.
That's how those rednecks are too. They got that giant bolt. Yeah.
So there's no way it can blow over.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
No, if it does, it's got to be 70 mile an hour straight line winds, and
no shit,
it's going to tear the hell out of the ground or the blind anyway. If it does,
was that as high up as you can get? Could you get a 15-foot one?
No, they sell a 5 and a 10-foot platform.
Okay,
so I mean, you know. Sheet metal worker, I'm sure I could make it higher, but yeah,
but yeah, we know some guys.
But then the ladder that comes with it's not going to fit, so then you'd have to extend the ladder and weld up that stuff. So, but anyway, I'm super pumped about getting a hunt out there and hopefully get one of them big ones. But so I still just, you know, it's like it's set up for a north, northwest, northeast wind mostly. Mm-hmm. So on south winds, I can't really go out there because there's a big giant ridge and a bedding area over there, and I know there's deer bedding up there. In fact, those two bucks I saw today came from up there. So anyway, long story short, I still hunt at home behind my house in that little strip of timber. And so on the south winds, because my wind blows right over the river, well, October 12th of this year, we had that one good cold snap. Remember that cold front we had?
Yep.
And we were all talking about it, like, oh, yeah, can't wait. So I ended up going just behind the house because it was a southwest wind, and I only had like an hour and a half to hunt before I had to go to my daughter's soccer game and tumbling. So I'm like, oh, it's only an hour and a half, but man, the weather changes so good. First cold front of October. I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I went that morning and sitting there and it just got light and around the corn. The corn's still up there. So on the outside corner, I see something come around the corner of the corn there. And I'm like, at first I thought it was a coyote through the, you know, there was still a lot of foliage on then.
Yeah.
And so I started looking a little more and it kind of walked actually towards me, towards the woods. And I'm like, oh, that's a deer. That's a deer. And I'm like, I think I saw a rack.
Yeah.
So then it kind of stops over there. And I don't know if he was feeding over there or what he was doing for a little while. And I couldn't see him. So then I'm like, oh, no. Where's he going? Is he turned? Do I need to grunt? Is he leaving or what?
Do you not have binos with you?
Yeah, but it was so thick.
Oh,
that, and he was actually, dude, he was like 25 yards away from me.
No shit.
But it was that just close?
Yeah, I couldn't even see him. Yeah.
Holy
but
shit.
I mean, you know, it was still October 12th, all that foliage, and it's thick right there.
That first cold snap didn't happen because it was like 70 degrees a couple days before.
Right. So anyway, he finally starts moving again, and then I see him, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he does have a rack. Oh, that's actually a pretty decent rack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, like all the years, I've never, you know, I haven't killed a bunch of 3.5-year-olds or whatever. I've, you know, it seems like when I get a good one, it's a 5.5-year-old or killed some 4.5-year-olds. But so for me, I've never really had a place where I've been able to, you know, when I grew up hunting, I didn't rack up shooting some nice 130s, 140s.
Right.
I never really did that.
You didn't have like the buildup list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I got one other deer that might be 130. Everything else, you know, 140.
Yeah.
And so,
180.
180, yeah.
No big deal. Just 6.5-year-old, no big deal.
Right, just one of them. But so anyway, he starts walking out, and he's going broadside. I got it set up on this grass road. There's a grass road right in front of me between the woods and the field, and they love following that grass road, so it's kind of like our little setup, and it's 25 yards to the road, and he came out, and I kept looking at his rack going, no. Is he big enough? I don't want to, you know, ground shrinkage and do that because I've done that before. And so anyway.
We all have.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Everybody has. Yeah.
Yeah. So the more I looked at him, the more I looked at his body, I'm like, no, that's a good deer.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I had been seeing tracks back there. I go back there and I mow for the farmer. I mow. There's a grass road that goes back there in between the fields. And
you're too nice.
I know. And why I'm back there, see, I mow a path to my stands.
No, there you go.
The woods are so thin. It's only like 50 yards wide. So
it is kind of wild.
It's a cool area.
Yeah, it is, actually. I mean, it's the cool thing about it, it's I call it the super funnel because it gets narrower right there in the middle stand. We got a stand on the east, a stand on the west, well, a couple in each place. But then we got one in the middle because the woods get thinnest right there, probably only 25, 30 yards wide. And over the years of hunting it, and living there, I can see this timber out in my house. So
I'll
go out and stand on the deck, you know, and watch deer. So every deer that goes by this place, I've noticed over the year, they all end up going right there. So figured out a way to get in and out, good entrance and exit,
right.
And only hunted on this one wind, south winds, and it's paid off. I mean, I've shot more deer on that grass road than I've shot anywhere else in my life. So
was this the same stand as your giant a couple years ago?
No, this one was in between the other ones. That one was way down. That was down to the west more. So that one I got to hunt on a north.
Heading back.
I got to hunt on a northwest wind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
That one.
It's cool.
So
stop acting like you know where all this shit is.
No, that's exactly. I remember one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah, I've been there. But anyway, long story short, I decide he's good to go and hit the HHA to 25 and settle it and let it rip. And he just, you know, does the old 180 spin and takes off hauling across this grass field. And it's like CRP grass, and he runs out there about 70 yards and stops, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so he starts doing the sideways walk.
No shit. You know? You can see this clear as day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The shuffle.
Yeah, from the stand. Yeah, the curly shuffle. Yeah.
Wait, did he run closer to your house?
What's that? Yeah, he actually ran closer to my house for me.
The whitetail shuffle?
Yeah.
Mark was doing the whitetail shuffle in his stand.
He's like, come on. Go down. Go down.
All right, yeah, go down.
Yeah.
Get jiggy with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Saw him crash and you know, right away in our messenger group. I'm like, I just shot a buck, guys. Pretty good one, too. So then they're like, somebody said, no proof, no pictures, no proof, or whatever that saying is.
Yeah, yeah. Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah, Pixar didn't happen. That's it. So I took a picture with my finger pointing out there. I'm like, he's dead laying right there.
I didn't see none of this shit. Where I was hunting that day, that morning, I just remember, like, my shit was blown up. Apparently, I didn't have no cell signal, so it was clearly a stand I never hung. But like, I remember like getting down. I was waiting for my escort back out of the property, and I'm sitting there. I just see like the Snapchat is like Mark driving his tractor. I'm like, why is that fool not in the woods? And then he drives up to a deer. I'm like, oh, did you find that dead? I had no idea what was going on. I just saw you like in the tractor rolling up this dead deer, yep. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah. And then I went back and looked at it. I'm almost like, oh, shit. I was pumped. I was stoked. I was like, oh, Mark just killed one. Wait a minute. Was that at his house? That was my first thing. I was like, Mark, you killed that at your crib? Yep.
I think I was in, what day did you kill this?
Saturday, October 12th.
Okay, I had just gotten back from Oregon.
Yeah.
So I missed all those Snapchats. Like, I probably watched them, but I was I didn't get to, like, sit and, like, volume up. Watch them
go through everything.
So like if the volume's on, you don't know what's going on, so I probably just click through them. I was probably in an airport. I don't know if I was home then. Well, I had to have been home.
Yeah, I think you were home.
I think you're home because you went out the next day.
Yeah you went out and shot two does the next day.
Yeah, you're right. So
I remember watching the snaps. I was pretty jealous that you just drive the tractor.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
it's amazing.
And he even ran closer to the house. Yeah. So it was just a short haul.
I'm like, this is great.
It wasn't worth warming up the fucking tractor for.
So I'm driving back there, and I'm about to go pick him up, and I think, I'm going to do a Snapchat of this. Watch this. I get it. It's all cool when you pull up on a buck and he's got, or pull up on a deer and he's got antlers or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was TJ Unger. Was like, that snap was hilarious, dude.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, scoop him up in the bucket and drag him home.
Sometimes it just works out.
And then you went to your daughter's and you made your daughter's soccer game.
Yeah,
so.
I was 15 minutes late, but, you know, had to gut it.
That's a dad right there.
Had to do all that.
What's cool is that when I asked, like, hey, can you send me pictures for the cover art of this episode? You're like, oh, yeah, my daughter took the photos.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did. She's
good. That's why the photos sucked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, come on.
What a b-hole move.
Yeah, they're better than your photos.
Yeah.
Hey, I used them on the cover art, bro.
Dude, I'm kidding.
Hey, Mark's daughter has provided us more content than you ever
have. Damn, dude.
Damn. Look, Kirk got hella serious.
I got a daughter, too. I'm about to beat your ass.
That was a body bag right there.
Fathers and daughters stick together, bitch. What's up?
She's only 8, you butthole.
I'm sure she will kill a bigger deer than you ever will before you can even kill your biggest deer.
Yeah,
Isla has.
She's on her third bow already. She's had 3 bows.
See, Isla's got.
You gotta do something, buddy.
How old can you take your? You can take your hunter safety course when you're 11.
10? In Illinois, I'm not 100%.
Did you
always
have like 5-year-olds with deer?
I think I don't remember. I'd have to look that up. But can you she not wants to go sit in the blind with me. She said that
Isla's coming for your throat, son.
She's coming for your spot. Actually,
yeah.
Yeah, she's going to replace me.
Yeah.
At 2 years old. The Goo Goo Gaga is way more information than you'll get from me anyway.
Same shit at that point. Except my daughter will actually know what a 150-inch deer looks like.
Oh, my God.
Body bag.
All right. Body bag. Next topic.
Body bag.
Next topic.
So, yeah, it's actually kind of crazy. Then I got up to the deer when he was, you know, with the tractor, and he was down. Well, actually, I noticed this on the walk out. I walked by him, and I'm like, please don't be a 2.5-year-old. Please don't be a 2.5-year-old.
Because sometimes your adrenaline gets the best of you.
Yeah, it does, you know, and it happens so fast all the time.
But well, here's the thing, though. My thing is, like, if you got that excited about it and shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was worth it.
But everybody says when you see one, you'll know. When it's a mature buck, you will know. There's no question. But it wasn't that level. I still had to go, you know, I'll shoot a 3.5-year-old all day. Because I just, all the years I've hunted, not had the opportunity.
And you're, what about me, Buck? When you're telling us, you had no time to react. You turned around and then you just.
Dude, the thing is, too, is I've, you know, I want to shoot a $60, $170 buck, of course.
Right.
But I'm not kidding. Like, I struggle to pass. Some, it depends on my mindset. Like, I've had years where I'm passing good deer and I'm waiting and waiting. Right. And I've also had years where I'm like, my inner redneck's just like, dude, yeah, just shoot that
kill
thing,
it,
man.
Kill it. Kill
just
it.
Smoke it. Like, yeah, it, just, Kurt, just shoot yeah that thing.
You get yeah the, you get the, from the Gladiator, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, just give him the thumbs down. Like,
yeah. Smoke. Here's the thing. Like, I'll admit, I'll openly and clearly admit that, like, sometimes a good 10 comes in. Fuck, perfect example. Not last season. The season before that, my 10-pointer I shot,
yeah,
I would probably not shoot that deer this year.
Right.
Like,
right.
I probably wouldn't have shot that deer earlier in the year. But he came in, and I was like, you know what's that? There's a meme where it's it, – I'm drawing a blank on it. Anyway, in my head, the little devil on my shoulder is like, shoot
you
that
got,
thing.
You got that little redneck on your yeah shoulder with a mullet?
Yeah, just
hell
that,
yeah, brother.
Just drinking a bush heavy yeah with a cut-off denim jacket. Him, bro.
Leonard Skier in the background? Like, hell yeah, brother.
Let her rip, tater chip.
You could shoot this deer right now and go drink cold bush light and have antlers on the back of your truck. I'm just like, dude, you're right. Dale. All right, let's do this.
You got right that. You got Dale, that. You're right. Freshly divorced. Go ahead and take her home.
That's yeah, that's like that little, like, but you know what? I have that inner redneck
oh yeah
fight
oh yeah
with me.
Oh, yeah.
And that doe, a doe walks out and she's oh like yeah 20 yards. I'm like, hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, yeah. I'm not going to bullshit. I had earlier in the season, I had that video of, there's two bucks. It's this little shithorn buck fighting with a spike buck. And
don't say shithorn.
Shit, I like that term. I like shithorn, but somebody said that, and I like it. All right, he was a little guy. He was a little guy. I laughed about it because a year ago, I definitely, my heart would have been racing. I would have smoked that deer. I was looking at this spike buck, and I just, something in me is like, dude, shoot it, because our buddy Shad from Big Time loves spike bucks. And I'm like, ah, dude, I'd love to have just a spike buck, because I think they're cool too, but I was like, should I shoot this? I got a range belt. And no. Like, I talked myself out of it. I wanted to. I want to put some meat in the freezer, and I didn't care. I would have hung that trophy on my wall. Serious as a heart attack. And I've been super proud of it. But I was like, I'll let him walk. And he hung out there for like another half an hour. I'm like, dude, just go before you get shot.
You're learning.
That's see, a little Steve, different.
You're learning.
Yeah, you are learning. Like, that's where it starts. Like, I'm talking rackable bucks. Like, right, where you're like, he's good.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Outside of tips yeah of his ears.
Yeah, yeah, like we all know, like the ones that tempt you a little yeah bit. That's yeah where my redneck side's like, yo, dude, right, wax this fool right here.
Yeah.
Like,
wax this fool.
Yeah.
Smoke his ass. Wax this fool. I hope that yeah goes through your head when you see like a 10, you're like, should I get wax this fool? All right, he's done.
It's confidence, man.
So, yeah, it was. I was happy when I got to him and realized
he's a nice buck.
Yeah, he's not a 2.5-year-old. He is what I thought he was. And
did you measure him yet?
I ended up measuring him real quick, and I was trying
to sit him up there, Tank.
Trying to be real tight with him, so I didn't give myself extra, you know. And that way, if you ever score it, it'd be higher than lower, hopefully. So he scored 144 and 4.8.
I can see that all day. That's a good
dirty, dirty dark rack. I like that.
I would not pass that buck.
Me neither. It's got good mass.
I would not pass that.
What did he score at?
144 and 4.8.
That deer walks in Saturday morning, wax.
What did you say?
If he had that other.
No. Mark, what was the 4.8?
4.8. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. One what? Half? You want you me to
by,
say one
you go
half?
By, no, you go by.
Because you remember we were working together. All right.
What are you talking shit?
Must be talking about.
You talking
shit to
right
a taxidermist?
No,
right
I'm not.
Now?
I'm not.
What,
there's
who
a,
are
the,
you?
The 4.8. It's a joke between
there
me and
must
Mark.
Be a Fulton High School.
Well, explain
joke,
it if you're telling.
There is. Mark has got. I'll get to it later. I don't want to interrupt the story.
If he had his other 2, 3, 4. If he had his G4, he's a 9-pointer. If he had his G4 on this left side that he's missing, like the other one, he would be right, real, real tight to 150.
I can see that all day.
You know.
I can see that all day.
I'm all right with him.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah.
So
here's the thing, like, and I, as much as I want to kill a 170, I know they say you got to pass these bucks to get to those.
Right.
Like, that buck will, I'll be a happy man every year.
Oh, yeah, me you know? Too. I've always said that. I'll it's shoot a great good buck. 3-year-olds. You know, it'd be different if I had 20 of them or not, but, you know, I don't. So anyway, I start looking at it. It's kind of a really cool story about this deer, which I didn't know at the time, but, well, I guess I'll back up. I've been seeing big tracks back there when I go to mow the grass back there. And I even took some pictures with my hand right by the deer tracks for comparison in size. And I kept telling my dad, I said, there's a good deer back here.
Because
usually there's not, you know, there's not one like that.
Yeah.
So I knew right away, and so I started thinking, all right, well, we got to do this, we got to do this, and then, you know, we tried to figure out. And then I got a picture of him 4 days before I actually killed him. So I had been seeing the tracks.
But you didn't know it at the time.
I didn't know it at the time. Okay. Yep. So I knew there was corn still up, which it lasted longer this year, obviously, because of the spring we had, all that rain. So they got it in late. So I think that helped actually keep him over in that little strip of timber that I can hunt.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, really.
Yep. So I started seeing the tracks. I noticed they were coming out of the corn, and I knew where he was. I knew he was bedding in the little timber right behind my house. So when I got the picture, I'm like, yep, sure enough. You know, I got a nighttime picture of him, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice deer. So anyway, when I got up to him, I started looking at him, and I saw these big dips in his body up by his rib cage, up top by his spine. And I mean, it was such an abnormal dip in his body. I was like, something's wrong. What happened there?
Especially you seeing that, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you look at anatomy. That's like what you do as a taxidermist. I mean,
every time there's anything like goofy going on there, it's like you see like tumors or something on deer, like anything on social media or whatever, I'll always be like, yeah, Mark, what do you think's going on with this? And you're always like a doctor. Not like a doctor, but you're
I always wish I had like kids' mindset to look at.
Yeah, so it's wild that you're seeing something immediately that you're like, dude, this doesn't happen every day.
Right.
Pictures of this buck.
What?
Pictures of your buck. That's what you're studying, right? The trail cam pictures? That's what we're talking about?
Oh, no.
When he got up to the deer, there's dips in it.
Oh, shit. When I got up. I was mixed up. I went, okay.
Yeah, when he finally got up to it.
When I got up to the deer, I noticed, I'm talking like.
I spaced out for a second, apparently.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
There was at least an inch or an inch and a half deep dip in between a couple of the ribs that was probably 4 inches tall up and down his body. So, I mean, it was like.
Did he look emaciated? Is that
and
what
I was
talking
like,
about?
All right, what's this all about? So I got down and I started spreading the hair apart, looking for a scar. And sure enough, there was a scar. And it completely dawned on me. I'm like, oh, I know this deer. I'm like, last year when I was hunting, I can't remember. It was about this time of year, early in November, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, something like that. And I was in that same stand. And off to my right from the west, here comes this. I see a deer coming out on that grass road, and I look, and I'm like, oh, it's got a rack. And so I grab my bow, and I still can't really see what it is through the brush. So anyway, long story short, he ends up turning and coming into the woods and walking on the trail right in front of my stand. And I'm looking at him like, it's only a two-year-old. So I hurry up and hang my bow up, get my phone out, you know, do the video thing.
Yeah.
So I start videoing. He goes right like 2 feet in front of my stand, the tree I'm in. He goes by. And when he gets about 5 yards past me, I notice, like, what the hell is wrong with that deer? Mm-hmm. So I look at the top of his back, and he's got a scar on his right side. And his left side, it looks like somebody hit him with it's like an exit hole of a howitzer or something. I'm not kidding.
What?
He's got this hole in his left side of his body that looks like somebody shot him with a muzzy.
Shit. I remember this.
I don't remember this.
You probably do. I shared the video and we talked about it.
I fucking remember this.
You still have the video?
Now.
Yeah, on my phone somewhere, I still got the video. It's a gnarly hole.
Yes, it is. You're like, how is this deer still alive?
I know.
Okay, keep going now.
So, what happened, looked like to me was the blood, you know, was. It dried in the hair and made the hair stick straight out 90 degrees to the ground. I mean, just.
Oh, yeah.
So he had this bloody glob hair and big. I mean, you could see inside the deer through the ribs. I'm not kidding. That he on the exit hole was huge. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, oh, I got to put my phone away. I better shoot him and put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
That's got to suck, you know? So I reach and grab my bow, I clip on, and. By that time, he had already gone too far and got into the brush. So I couldn't get a shot at him. So I'm like, oh, man, I felt bad then. Like, I wanted to shoot him.
Right.
So anyway.
Oh, shit, good thing you
that
did.
Was
because...
that was a morning. Yeah, that was a morning hunt. Yeah, it turns out actually cool. So I ended up, doing whatever the rest of the day. Then I came back out and hunted that night. And I said, all right, if I ever see that deer again, I'll evaluate his shape that he looks like he's in. Because when he walked underneath me, he looked like he's fine. He's looked like he's out cruising does.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning. So I did. I ended up seeing him. He went over in that same timber behind my house. And he comes back in the afternoon. And he's on a trot chasing a doe. out in the cornfield.
The kid's fine.
Yeah, about 40 yards away from me. He's all trotting. He's happy as can be, like nothing happened. So I'm like, okay, well, he must be fine. But it looked so fresh to me. Obviously, we hadn't had a rain, because the rain would have washed that blood and, yeah, and made that hair go down. Yeah. So it had to be done within that day or day before, 2 days. I bet you that deer was not shot more than 2 days before I saw him.
You think for sure someone shot him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely.
Where exactly was this? Because obviously it didn't hit any. Well, when you opened up.
It was a little. It was high, obviously. Okay. But that's the funny thing that I found out, too, when I took it to the locker plant. I'll tell you later. But. Yeah, it was no man's land. It was, I would say the hole on the right side, the entry hole, was probably maybe an inch under the skin, and the exit hole was probably a good, it was still a good 2 to 3 inches below the skin. I mean,
below the skin.
Yeah. Like 2 inches down from the top of the, or 2 or 3 inches down from the top of the spine.
Spine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much no man's land. But it, on the right, on the deer's left side, it looked to me like it was low enough that it probably got a lung.
But I didn't. Shit.
Yeah. But I didn't know until, of course, you know, you gut him. So.
Was he still a big body?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because I remember seeing the Snapchat, but it was.
Yeah, his body was
also
big.
Also, got to know, according to experts, there is no. No man's land.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking, too, yeah, when I was looking at him, because, yeah, there's no man's land. Well, yes, there is.
There is, 100%. Yeah.
So, okay, and even if there's not a no man's land, you can single lung a deer and still they'll live. I mean, it happens. People don't think it does.
Oh, because you shot him. You put a good shot on him, so you wouldn't have been able to tell if those lungs. Well, could you have?
I inspected the lungs. Yeah.
There wasn't any rotting lungs in there, because that's the first thing you're going to think of is like, well, shit.
Steve, keep dragging the story out. I got to pee.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so Mark, so tell me what exactly was going through your mind at the minute.
Well, no,
of the shot.
finish your story.
Yeah. No, Jesus.
I was like, man, I know this deer. So anyway, he was a good deer last year. I mean, he was out to the tips of his ears. He was a nice 8-pointer last year, you know, to make. You know, obviously that's why somebody shot him, but, you know, I wasn't going to shoot 2.5-year-olds. So anyway, I passed him. But anyway, I ended up seeing him again the next morning, and same thing, nose to the ground, running through the woods, but he wasn't on a doe this time, but he was grunting the whole way. And I'm like, okay, now it's been almost 2 full days. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that deer. Yeah.
He's fine.
He's still horny. He's good to go.
Do you think you're going to smoke him? You're like, yeah, shit.
Yep. So anyway, once I look at the trail cam pictures, he's got big dents in his body on the trail cam pictures too. It's pretty cool. So, all right. So anyway, I gut him and I check out his organs and stuff like that. And I did double lung him perfect, and actually clipped a vein that goes to the heart too. So he didn't go nowhere, obviously, but so I could see my, you know, broadhead. Mm-hmm. So I started to, when I was gutting him, you know how you reach up and you cut the diaphragm and open up that little area, and then you start reaching up, and usually you can cut the esophagus and start pulling and get to the lungs, and the lungs will just kind of pull, and you may have to nick it or something. The lung on the left side of the deer was, like, stuck to the body, and I had to keep pulling and pulling and cutting. I'm like, what's going on here?
Oh, fuck.
Wow. Yeah, I'm usually way faster than this at gutting a deer, you know. So I got it all out, and I started looking at it. And I'm like, well, it looks kind of like the top of his lung is messed up a little bit. But I was, at that time, I was more focused on trying to see, you know, where I hit him. So, and I was in a huge hurry, keep in mind. I had to get my butt out of there and get to soccer. So I didn't really pay that much attention to the gut pile. But when, so anyway, I went to the, I took some pictures of the body to show people how bad the scar was. And so at that point, I still didn't know that he was single-lunged that year. So I ended up taking him to the meat locker, and I told him, you know, Scott, I told the meat processor, I'm like, hey, just so you know, that deer was shot last year. Don't know. I didn't find a broadhead. I didn't find anything sharp in there. But when you start, just give him a heads up. Be careful. Don't cut your fingers, you know, whatever, if there's something in there.
Yeah. The so actual PSA, let everybody know if there's a broadhead still in it.
Yeah.
They'll love that.
So He opens it up and he goes, what was it, a single lunger? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, did he get hit in one lung? Because he goes, they can live in with one lung hit. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And so I'm like, you know what? I was in such a hurry, I didn't even really pop the cavity open and look. So I ended up we squeezed the chest cavity, pried it open, and looked inside. And, dude, there was a busted rib in there that had sunk down. And then all that scar tissue had healed.
Oh, shit. Over
so the... that's, yeah. They hit him in between the ribs, but just enough to bust the one rib in half.
Oh, really?
And it, like, sunk and hung down lower inside his cavity. So... and then when you look in the inside the carcass, you can actually tell where the lungs actually scar tissued and grew to the inside of the chest cavity and the ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
shit.
That's crazy. Yeah, he actually healed up and scar tissued over that wound and lived.
So was he a decent buck the year that he got shot? Was
yeah.
he okay?
Yeah, I said that when you were out. Yeah, he was a nice 2.5-year-old eight-pointer. I mean,
yeah.
when he came in, it took me a second. No, it's a 2.5-year-old, but he was out to the end of his
Did
year.
Did his rack look similar to his buck? His
yeah, but he now? Was just a straight eight, but he wasn't nowhere near this... you know, tall tines and,
right,
and
right.
not that much mass.
Do you know anyone that might have shot him?
I think I kind of maybe know who did. There's a couple neighbors down. There's a neighbor next door who's on the same plan as me. We don't shoot the little ones. But there's a new guy that moved in two houses down that...
You ever think about going over there? But, hey, just curious.
Yeah, I actually did think about that because I talked to my neighbor one time, the one that's on the same plan as me, like 2 years ago. Like the very first year that guy moved in next door. And he said he talked to him, and he said he shot, like, four deer this year, and he shot two bucks. And he's like, oh, man, I could shoot six of them if I want. And then so my neighbor's like, you know, listen, hey, we kind of got this thing going up and down this road where
yeah.
we try not to do yeah. that. You know, we try to pass
to the new guy.
So
how did he take that?
He said he told him gently and kind of, I think he said he took it real well, actually. But
it just means bigger bucks for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which right. obviously this is working.
Right, exactly. And then we had a guy that bought, or an older lady sold the property three houses down. And she sold it to a guy who put it in CRP ground and just, he's a hunter.
Yeah.
So it actually, now
it's going to work better probably.
Yeah, now the next two properties next to me, both are set aside for deer. So
oh, nice.
That's why I think things are getting a little better. And
it's
then,
good to see.
Yeah. And then there's a guy that used to live.
What about me?
Yeah. yeah, there's a guy that used to live down the street, and he ended up moving. Well, he used to bring all his shotgun buddies in, and they would push and put standers and pound deer. So he moved. So
yeah.
It's yeah, things are
well,
getting
good,
a little
man.
Bit better. So yeah, yeah
it's, the ultimate awesome. Of pinch points right there, huh?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So yeah.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm excited
to enter him in the book.
Yeah, heck yeah. Oh yeah, I want to for sure.
I'm due to I think the whole crew needs to get over with all their deer, like Chandler, Bigger, you,
oh, yeah.
Doug, Cameron.
Yeah, I got a lot of deer I have to enter.
What's up, Steve? I gotta measure
all of them. A couple weeks I'll have my deer back.
I have all of them.
Yeah, we'll measure them, see if he makes a book. And then I mean
which
my,
book?
My dad's got a bunch. I have a ton.
Yeah, you got
that I need. Well, that sounds arrogant. I mean like that. Like I
for being
a Pope and Young measurer, I only have one entered and I have like eight. That right. I need to put
yeah.
in.
Right. I have you zero know, entered.
Yeah,
so.
We need to do that because yeah. it's a good thing.
Yep.
Here's something I do want to say. It's funny. It's a running joke with me and Mark. I always give him shit all the time. I'm like, dude, you bought this property and you only killed deer off behind your house. Funny story. Me and Mark worked a couple days together where we did like 16-hour, 19-hour days.
Sounds miserable.
Together.
Was miserable.
I'm surprised we don't hate each other.
I let
after.
Him ride in my work truck with me too. You believe that? Dang.
Why? Because he didn't have a personal vehicle?
No.
You know what?
I was afraid the wheels would fall off.
You deserve that buck for that.
It's a long ride.
You deserve this buck.
Yeah, you deserve this buck.
Mark, Steve's work buck.
Mark only brought me because he didn't want to only hang out with his best friend Jeff up.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been working on Steve. Steve was starting to get a little off the rails, and we found this new product called Buzz Backer Fan, and he's been taking that up his asshole for the last
time.
You
know what's been great is Tank is the one who comes over six times a day and inserts it. So
hey, whatever keeps you shut up.
Tank don't even wear gloves anymore. He's that confident.
Time for your bill.
Spitting him in there.
Tank, you spit him. Tank, I told you quit eating sunflower seeds before you do that. My rectum is wrecked. Damn near bled him out to death.
Did you have some jalapenos earlier? Jesus.
Rectum damn near killed
him. Oh my gosh. We're so dumb.
He just wants Tank because he loves his beard and he's got really big fingers.
Look at those sausages.
He's got them old farm hands, baby.
He's got those pill pushing fingers.
Dude, if you measured Tank's hand, they'd score Pope and Young easy.
Hey, smash measurements are amazing.
You know, if Tank,
dude, you put a 20-inch spread on Tank's hands, he's 128 all day.
You know, if Tank put the pill up there, it ain't coming back.
Dude, his G2s are 8 inches.
Dude, every when Tank used to make like the little turkeys, you know, where you put your hand on there and you make turkeys. Dude, every year his teacher graded him Butterball.
He's got short times, but man, he's got a lot of mass.
funny shit. So me and Mark, like, dude, we worked a lot together. It was fun. And I remember you telling me, and I still hope this comes true, that there was a, and this is the time where you were like, you know, normally when me and Mark talk deer hunting, like I do get serious sometimes, and we had a serious talk about your
Steve
new property, and you were like, "Yeah." And I was listening, and you told me that you found this spot, and you're like, "Dude, when it starts to get good, I got a good feeling about this spot."
Yeah. Yep.
And I laugh every time. I'm like, "Dude, that giant you shot in this nice buck. I'm hoping you do kill something out of that spot. Have you hunted it yet?"
I did. I hunted it 2 days, about 2 weeks ago. I think it was the next cold snap that we had after this one. So it would have been like October. I waited till it got late, October 26th, 27th, 28th, somewhere in there. It was a Thursday and Friday, so whatever that calendar is. I went in there and I said, I'm just going to sit as all day, because the very end of October, I knew there's a bedding area over there. I've got the place figured out now. There's a cornfield over there, and I'm trying to get as close to the bedding area as I can and catch one coming out the first time of the year that he does it, you know, in October. So before the rut and they're all over hell. So, but I didn't see anything. I sat there. I can't remember. I had it. I don't know if it was 14 hours or something like that within 2 days. And I did not even see a freaking deer. And I was like, well, this is my new great spot, man. What the fuck?
Mark's already bitching about his prime
rough
spot.
Shit. That's rough, though.
I hate this place. Yeah.
Man, fuck this. He's asking for his money right back.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I keep the receipt for this piece of shit?
Yeah. Like, how do I explain this to my wife?
Right? Yeah. I might have screwed up, honey.
Listen, you know how I tell you that you're not always right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah,
well, this particular time.
You won this one.
This one time, yeah. So, yeah, so then I just got out of there. I'm like, I'm not burning it up, because it's over there on a ridge, and it's the wind has a tendency to swirl if you're not in the right place and you don't have the perfect wind at the right speed.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited, and those 2 days were back-to-back the same kind of day and freezing cold. And yeah, so I didn't see nothing. So I haven't been back there until, yeah, let's see. I went a couple times. I've already sat 3 times all day. Today would have been my third one that I sat all day.
It's a long day, man.
Oh, God, my butt hurts.
Hey, did you listen to the latest episode of the DeQuisto series podcast?
Yeah, dude, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Just curious.
Sure did. Yeah. Yeah.
All day sits get discussed a little bit in that one.
Yeah, yeah. They don't do it. They can't do it.
I don't, you know, I don't really either, though.
Yeah.
But I did do the method of last weekend. I'm out of vacation days, so I can't hunt. Dude, I so badly want to hunt right now. Like,
right.
I didn't think going to Oregon was worth it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I wouldn't trade that for nothing, like that experience. But I burned up all my days and then some. Like, I'm negative time. Yeah. And so I'm nights when I came and only weekends. So, like, it's killing me now. But Saturday morning, I hunted in the morning, went back to my truck. I brought some spaghetti, ate cold spaghetti in my truck.
Whose spaghetti was it?
Dog spaghetti.
Was there vomit on your sweater already?
Yeah, there was. So I hunted 2-3 hours, then jumped out and then hunted another stand until dark, which I enjoy that a lot.
See, I didn't either. Back at my house, I never did that either. I'd hunt till 11 or 12 and then go.
Yeah, which is still a long morning.
When I'm in my stand, I can see my house from my tree stand. So I'm like, yeah. Go home and do whatever. Back. So it's real easy.
I like all day sits, but they will burn you out if you're not careful.
Dude,
Eric
is here.
Switch it up.
Eric isn't here right now, but he always does like the hour. He's like, if I ain't seen shit, I'm getting down. Within
On the last episode of the Dequisto series podcast.
With the half hour.
Andre said the half hour method, and Eric's like, dude, that's what I do. Yeah. I remember
yeah,
Eric.
I've always done half hour.
Yeah, yep. Eric has talked about it on the podcast. Maybe you've brought it up.
After 10 o'clock, if I don't see a deer within a half hour, I'm getting out of there.
My 11 o'clock's my golden hour because... Just because, and see, I guess it's different for each property. Like that one at home, it's just, I know what happens. They wait for the does to go bed down in the morning, and then they get up and start cruising doe bedding areas and looking for, you know, hot does. So I just sit in my little super funnel until they come through.
Right.
And they do or they don't. It's attrition, dude. I sit and sit and sit and sit and sit and
but
see
here's
nothing, and then finally, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Here's my thing. Yeah.
And then 180.
I had a buddy, 180. I had a buddy send send me a video of a buck he had just cruising at about, it was like 2:50, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
A deer I definitely would have shot. So a guy that's in my situation, I'm going to have to sit all day. Like, and this is.
No,
this
but
this is some shit for me. Like,
Phone won't last, though.
Like, yeah, I want to sit a long time so I can have every opportunity because, you know, haven't...
But it's where are you sitting? Because if you think logically about it, it's like, okay, you're going to sit a big fence row way out in the middle of nowhere that borders the edge of a field. Okay, think actively, like, why would a buck come through here right now? Like, where's he coming from and where's he going to check for does? If he's running, he's looking for does.
Right.
I mean, unless he's a young deer, a mature buck is not going to wander around mindlessly, like, in the middle of this field, doing circles. Like,
but
you want to be in a position to where does are probably bedded, that he's going to cut from one other doe bedding area over there and going to cut through the center through a pinch point to the other doe bedding area, and you're there because you're going to intercept that random midday transition of mature buck going here to there.
That's what I was just going
to
say.
To add on to that story, about 2 hours later is when a big bastard came through that.
But where's your buddy sitting? You didn't provide any information to that story that when he sends you this video, like, he's not sitting in the middle of a hedgerow in the middle of nowhere.
No. He's in the timber, and it's just kind of talking to him where he's at. And I don't want to be talking out of my ass. I'm just saying.
No.
It was early in the afternoon.
Yar.
Yar.
Now
is what are you Yardo. Right now?
Yardo.
Yardo. I'm just saying. He saw a deer early in the afternoon. I definitely would have shot that deer. But it's not saying that if you didn't sneak in there 30 minutes after that deer and then another big-ass deer comes down that same exact path. It's just...
Yeah, but he's probably set up in, like, a pinch or
bedding
in
areas.
In my opinion,
or...
if you plan on sitting all day, you don't see a deer by, like, 11 o'clock, go to a different fucking
spot.
Yeah,
it's still sitting all day.
Yeah.
But, and I think mobile hunting, like, say, whatever, if you're a saddle hunter, if you're a lone wolf hunter, if you're whatever type of hunter you are, whatever your mobile recipe is, it's kind of a motivating thing to sit in the morning, pull your set, go sit in a sit midday because you feel like, man, I hustled.
Yeah.
This feels like a cool spot. Like,
change of pace. You know,
you're not going to sit and throw up a set if you feel like it's a shitty spot. So obviously your set feels like it's going to be a win.
Right.
You saw something that made you interested in that.
Well, it's got to feel like a win if you're going to sit there.
Right.
And then when you move for the afternoon, or if you might sit there all day, whatever, like a midday sit and then go until dark. But if you pull down and move again, you feel good about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put the effort into pull down, move, hang, set up. Yeah. So I think that type of hunting makes for more successful hunting. But if not, it makes for more motivated hunting because your mindset's there.
Yeah. Right. Well, that mobile setup. So I believe it was last Friday, depending on when you're seeing this. You did a Facebook video with or it was like a...
Excuse me, I'm coughing a lot.
It was an Instagram story with... you make it?
Yeah, dude, I'm battling this motherfucker here.
Kill it.
Keep going.
But you did a video with Cody Dequisto.
Yeah.
And in that video, he's like, we got an hour left of daylight. We're going out to hang a stand. And you were like, how quick can you hang a stand? He goes, I can be in a stand ready to shoot a deer in 6 minutes.
Yeah. So let me add a little backstory to that. Last Friday, I drove to Andre DeQuisto's house, and we filmed and recorded the number 4 episode of the DeQuisto Series podcast.
Which will get you pumped up.
Which, okay, so let me add this in. So, I'm the guy behind that podcast as far as like getting it published, recording, all that shit, and they're going to get better as we go because we're so freaking busy right now that they're just snowballing.
It's bad timing.
But we wanted to launch it. We wanted to get that information out. And it's just cool with those guys. So I get down there, leave from work, drive to Andre's place. Cody texts me midday, dude, can we because we do two of those episodes a month. Mm-hmm. That's what our schedule is now. They're sporadic. We don't know when they're going to launch based on all our schedules. It's tough. They're busy. Dude, you have no idea how busy Cody DeQuisto is right now. So Cody texts me, hey, the old man said he can't podcast tonight. He's got to go hunting. He's on a big deer.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. I was like, well, let's just you and I do it then because we got to get it done. We got to get a podcast out first week in November, you know. And he's like, all right, I'm working on the old man. I told him that, like, hey, you're ready to rock. Like, you're coming after work. You're doing all this. And then, anyway, we get there, and I can tell Andre's like, I could be hunting right now. And I'm like, sorry, motherfucker. Like,
sorry, motherfucker. You didn't say that to him. Yeah. Whoop your ass if you said that to him.
And I was like, hey, you'll kill one tomorrow. So,
I wish you would have said that to him.
What if you just call him, hey, chief, you'll kill
him
tomorrow?
I did say it to him.
You said
I definitely didn't chief Andre DeQuisto.
You don't chief a DeQuisto. That's just a fact.
Chief a DeQuisto.
Literally, when I walked in, he gave me shit, but he's kidding. You know, like Andre's like actually a really funny guy, and I was like, hey, media obligations, bro.
Yeah,
bro, you want to sell sands or you want to kill a deer? You want to go home or you want to go to jail?
Well, I think they bounce around so much. But see, like for me, I think you have to read each piece. Like my property, I can't do that. I don't. Where am I going to go bounce? I'm going to move 30 yards and hang over there, or I'm going to move 40 yards and hang over there.
By the way, do you wear a camo when you
hunt? But they do have presets too, though.
So that's what I'm saying. Like with my place, like I guess I'm going back to like where Steve said I need to sit longer all day. Or
I didn't say that.
Or whatever, you need to be sitting till 11
you should.
Or whatever you said. Yeah.
Because
your buddy said he saw a deer on a fence row. Isn't
for
that
me,
what you were
for
saying?
For guys of my caliber, yes, we need for guys that don't kill a whole lot of shit, we need to sit as much as we can.
That's
because,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, you'll see varieties of deer. That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying like you need to.
No,
I'm just
not
saying,
me. You.
Me,
I said,
yes.
Yeah. So basically what
argue.
I'm saying is.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My, that spot is a transition zone.
You can tell you guys work together.
Right.
Yeah. It's not, yeah.
Like that property is a spot you would want to sit a little longer.
Yeah, so you would sit longer.
Oh, okay.
And then that's where I'm going with it. Plus, now this other property that I got, I got a food plot up on top, and deer come and go, morning and dusk. But there's not very many deer that bed on that property either. So there's a ton of timber to the east and a ton of timber to the west. Jeez. So they follow that creek, and they travel during pre-rut and rut. So for me, I wasn't a big all-day sitter. I would give it, the old college try at home and sit longer than most people and have success. I'd shoot deer. The biggest deer I ever shot was at 11:15 for, like, years and years and years. So anyway, this new property is kind of the same way. There's a transition zone down by the creek that's going from massive bedding on the east and massive bedding on the west.
Mm-hmm.
So once those does bed down, the big boys are going to
get moving,
cruising. So if I had 400 acres or something like that, then it's so hilly and raviney that you can't go. Almost
Ravini.
All of it, Ravini.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so
that's
much.
That's how you speak Italian. Up there's a shitload
so
of ravines.
So much of it's a deep holler.
Hey, it's Ravini.
Ravini.
Is it like spoils
that I can't hunt it? Yeah, it's to me. It looks like it was along the Mississippi River, kind of.
Yeah.
So back in the day, to me, glaciers froze and pushed up the land. So you know how you look at an aerial topo map and you can see,
just lines through. Yep,
exactly.
It's like the Driftless area.
Yeah, yeah.
I've hunted the area.
Yeah.
It's just like the Driftless area.
Exactly. I mean, it's billy goat country.
Up and down.
Straight up and
down
and straight down and straight up and down and straight. So I have 20 acres, but I can basically only hunt about 2 acres of it, really.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Maybe, you're playing it.
Maybe
smart.
Three.
You're playing
exactly.
it smart. You know, you're not pushing it to push it, but.
Exactly. This place has access through the back.
I have a feeling that will pay off big time.
It is going to. I know it is. I got a good feeling about it because it almost did last year already. So I can slip in the back door early season and get to my food plot and slip right out. Slip in, slip out. And I don't go down in at all. early season. I wait till like the rut's going to get going, or I know they're going to start cruising, and I'm going to go into my more aggressive stands. And that's why I bought that tower down there. But last year I got so close to killing this giant wide 10 pointer. Actually, he had a few more points last year than he does this year.
Really?
So is this Buck Norris?
Yeah, Buck Norris. Yeah.
Buck Norris is a big boy.
Yeah, he is a big guy.
Goddamn Buck. I'm not going to ask you to tell too many details because I know there might be neighbors listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Not out there probably, hey, but
don't doubt our reach.
But yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, fuck you.
Yeah, come on.
Hey. It's got nothing to do. It's about my notoriety. When I kill deer, people find out.
I saw our numbers last month, bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
people know.
Mark, you're a smart Mark.
Hey,
come on now.
To say that anyway.
I said a joke about saddle hunters, completely joking, and there was a whole forum about it.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure, yeah.
Dude, they tweeted while dangling from a tree. It's like, come on, bro.
Their hips were hurting, dude. They're just like that. I'm kidding about that. Right, like, right. I'll get a screenshot of someone on Archery Talk talking shit about me.
They
working class talking shit about our hips.
They're definitely
they are sore, but man, fuck them.
They're definitely
squirming
in the tree over that.
Imagine tweeting hate towards us while wearing fingerless gloves, all right? I know you love fingerless gloves, but come on, bro. Yeah.
Dude, if I let deer know that I got finger tats, they just fall dead. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I say I'm about to wax this fool, they'd know it.
Come on, dude. Stop.
Stop. Yeah, so I'll tell you a little bit about Buck Norris. But just to go back to like when I killed my big one behind my house, the funny thing is everybody started texting me and messaging me, my neighbors, and hey, I heard you did this. Hey, I heard you killed a giant. Hey, and then the very next year, there's a guy that gun hunts, and he brought his trailer with his redneck blind on it, and he's parked right behind my house up against the timber now. So, you know, one person finds out, yeah, and he moves
after
in
you
on
shot his, your big boy,
yeah. Course.
What the fuck?
Dude, I'm about to go get he's black. Dead. Dude, I'm about to go get hammered and puke on the fence line.
But hey, same thing happened when my dad killed the Geyer buck.
Right.
Dude.
People just show
dude,
up.
Dude, that's what I never understood. If you kill a 200-incher and people just swarm around there, like, he's gone. Dead.
Dude,
he's not coming back.
Here's the thing. So,
that deer's
like,
dead.
Yeah. Dude, even like an absolute superstar, like, you know, like LeBron James. Akron, Ohio. Name me, like, he's a stud that came from one area, like, a freaking nature. Name me any other basketball player that came from Akron, Ohio that's as good as LeBron James. They're not, but...
The Deer Decks.
Everybody tried to...
The Deer Decks.
That came from right around there.
You know what I mean. Dude, like, when someone sees one
not
giant...
Not a basketball player. It's good skateboarders, though.
Yeah, right?
It's the Deer Decks. Rob. Yeah. It's wild that, like, when one good deer goes down, everyone's like, oh, this is where the good deer are. It's like, it's not like a freak of nature. Like, you ever seen those...
Here's my theory on that. Yeah, there's good genetic there, but it's going to take 4 more years before another giant shows back up.
Because exactly. I mean, it's like, not like he had, like, quadruplets that were, like, 7 foot tall. You know what I mean? He just had, like, one kid that was, like, 6'7", and... It's just it blows my mind that when one good thing goes down,
it's just a thing that happens in deer hunting. Yeah. It's to make a big deer, it takes. I mean, let's speak generically.
Right.
It takes 4 years. Mm-hmm. It takes some good genetic.
Yep.
It takes the right area, mm-hmm. and to get them into a spot where you can shoot them, it takes the right amount of habitat.
Oh yeah.
Right. But, so, but say we have one good podcast. Does that make us a good podcast?
Dude, we haven't had one good podcast.
You know?
Still waiting, Steve.
Dude, we're the two.
We're not a good podcast.
We're the 2-year-olds of podcasts. Right. Hey, we're like that 8-year-old buck that has like a 115-inch rack. We have 331 episodes, but it doesn't mean shit.
But
and
poor genetics.
Nobody wants to shoot them.
And nobody wants to shoot us.
Yeah, you know, it's fucked up, dude. We're the
shit genetics.
Dude, we're the 115-inch 8-year-old buck that lives in town.
You know what we are? And I'm speaking for our listeners right now because I'm relating with them hardcore.
Let's hear it, brother.
We're the blue collar side when all the engineers come down and try to tell you what to do, and you're like, listen, just because you got a piece of paper that says you're smart, you're a piece of shit.
I swear to God.
What's up, Doug? Sorry.
So,
Doug's an engineer.
I was not ready for that one.
So basically,
I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm just saying is
I just got blindsided.
The Johnson brothers.
I went a little dark on that one.
The Johnson brothers are the shirt tuckers.
We're the blue collar of all podcasts. Like, yeah. yeah, you want to be friends with us? We still spit and cuss and throw rocks. And every now and again, we'll kill a big deer.
Throw rocks.
Go kick rocks.
Oh, dude. We'll weld some shit up, pull you out of a mud hole, and we might kiss your girlfriend. I don't know.
With a dip in.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
That's Doug's pickup line.
Keep that school, baby.
Everything I'm saying right now, I don't even really even believe in.
Dude, on Doug's Tinder, he's like, I'll kiss your girl with a fat dip in.
Damn. Yeah, it gets a lot of hits.
What would Dale do?
Yeah, what would Dale do?
I'm sorry, Mark.
I'm sorry for the way we are.
Yeah, right. Mark, I'm used to it.
Mark knows what's going on.
Yeah, he knew he was getting into it.
Mark were like 3 weeks in a row, and me and him did like almost damn near 24-hour shifts.
Yeah.
We almost got stabbed to death in a gas station. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, we seriously could have died there.
Okay, well, I think we're done with our deer hunting stories.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Mark, every time you're around, we end up doing like a PSA of some sort.
Yeah, right.
And talking about a bunch of dumb stuff. Well, you're our first guest ever, so we can't. It's only downhill from here.
Hey,
like,
I do want to do this.
I kind of want to know why you guys almost got stabbed to death.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I kind of need to hear that.
Can you tell it?
Just a little bit.
You guys want to... I do want to get pretty serious for a second.
Can you not tell that story?
Oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, no, we can't tell that story. I do want to get...
Really, there's not really much of a story. We're in the hood.
West Davenport.
Shit was wild.
You're in West Davenport?
No, we're in... Clinton, Iowa.
No, we were coming back, and your gas card didn't work, and we had to go in the gas station.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever had chocolate-covered Twinkies.
Yeah, that
Did
lady
they have
said,
bars on the windows of the gas station?
That lady said somebody got shot.
No,
the night before,
no,
because
that was
the weekend before.
We were at the Casey's. This was the
Casey's.
I'm talking. This was the gas station that we went down, and the dude, like, I was like, Mark. Look at that dude's arm tattoos. And you're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I thought we were going to get stabbed because I was like.
I forgot about that.
So there's two different times.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, this dude had like total Aryan Brotherhood tattoos on his arms.
I forgot about that.
And Mark's trying to get gas in the company truck and this shit is not working.
Yeah.
And it's 2 a.m. We both like.
You're in Clinton, Iowa?
No, we were in. The fuck were we at? Oh, dude, we were closer to. What's right across from LeClaire? Like, not Port Byron.
Rapid City? Or?
I think we're in Rapid City. And this dude had, like...
Oh, dude,
this dude had
now
super
remember,
prison
yeah,
tats.
Because
you got that goofy shit that I couldn't eat.
Yeah.
And
you forgot your peanut M&Ms in my truck, by the way. They're gone.
They're gone.
What the fuck?
So you guys are in Rapid City and you see this dude.
Yeah.
I want to hear... Come on. Make this interesting
dude,
here. Tell
is that it?
We get to the gas station. We both worked... So we worked... 8-10 hour day or whatever, and then we got together, and then we had to, so the only way we can get into the school is like when the kids are out and to go finish up shit.
What about this guy?
There's really not much. He just was a rough looking dude, and he had a tattoo that was like, what was it again? Like the
so like he had like a, he had like
the, it was
judging
just,
somebody
you ever be
on
around
the
somebody
no
you ever be around somebody that gives you just like a sketchy vibe.
He was
like,
nice to us because we were both white,
like
so.
When you go,
it was cool.
Okay, so let me get you guys didn't almost get stabbed
no,
at all.
No, it's just
no.
Him
Steve,
blowing
what
it
the
up.
Fuck?
No, because he was getting because when
did
you
he
were
pull out a
to,
knife, Steve?
No.
He
did he have a knife in his
did
hand?
Did he say anything to you at all?
I wasn't scared.
Did he speak
I wasn't
to you
scared.
Guys?
I was more
you
scared.
You weren't scared.
I was
more
tripping
scared out.
Than Clinton. I was way more scared than Clinton at that gas station.
No, because when we were rolling up there was already ambulances up there and someone got
going.
Shot
yeah.
Like
Steve,
3 miles
did
up.
Did this dude say anything,
nothing.
Any words to you?
No. Well, just
what
no.
This guy that was talking to us, he seemed kind of cool until
dude.
Hold on. He seemed kind of cool until Mark's gas card went.
You are frustrating the fuck out of me right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Aryan Brotherhood tattoo almost stab you or not? Did he pull out a knife?
No.
He didn't
then you didn't
anything.
Almost get stabbed.
No. The fear.
Thank
there,
you.
It's a non-story, really.
Thank you for
it's
leading really this
God?
Podcast down a
damn
dark.
Hold on. No. Did we not leave that gas station thanking each other? It's like, oh, thank God.
Well, yeah, we were there at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have
we just
it
muted
up.
Steve is what we
Mark
did.
Beat his legs. Beat his legs.
I haven't had to mute you for a long
time. I don't remember it being legs. That violent. I don't remember it being that scary. I remember the dude being like, you know, all...
Dude, he was bugging out.
Different looking.
I'm sure he said hi.
Did he say anything to you at all, Steve? Did he speak words to you?
Yes, he fucking did. Yes, he was bugging out.
Did he say anything to him? Mark?
They talked, yeah. I talked to the guy, too.
But he talked to anybody.
He was bugging the fuck
count.
Out. I got scared for you when I was like, hey, do you got a bathroom? And I went back to the bathroom, and I went through two rooms to get to the bathroom in a fucking gas station.
I don't remember being scared.
Okay.
I just remember him being sketchy.
Terrible story.
And dude.
And very bad story.
Yeah,
terrible story.
We went down a bad rabbit hole. Really.
Okay.
It was fucking
Steve
sketchy.
Lashings after this podcast.
No, it was.
We could have told a story about Buck Norris instead of wasted it on
yeah.
That.
Oh, come on.
God damn, Steve.
Mark's hiding the story.
Yeah, I would rather have saved this for the end. I thought this was the end, but I got so sidetracked with the buffoonery that I... Do we want to talk about Buck Norris?
If you got time, sure.
Yeah, I got all the time you need.
Right. Hey, kid, can I bring up something? This is...
No, fuck no, you
no,
can't.
No, seriously, this is a serious thing.
Hey, no. Steve, hey, listen, fuck you. Go
Wait
to
a
hell.
Minute. Wait a minute.
Hey, Steve, go to hell. I want to hear about Buck Norris. I don't give a fuck about whatever you're going to talk about.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Whoa.
Jeez. I accidentally turned your mic all the way up.
Sorry.
I'm going to turn it all the way down.
Either way, you can't understand it.
All right, so anyway, I got the new property. I go, got some pictures, got some trail camera pictures. I got a good deer. So, and then after Velvet, he had a busted tine that was a big one, like a 9 or a 10-inch tine that was busted off. And I think I had heard...
So for people at home, this is on the property you bought.
This is on the property that I bought my first year hunting it and putting cameras out. So he was the biggest deer I got, so... You know, I was after him, and I think the way the name came about was he was just the biggest deer, and he was busted up, so I knew he was a fighter, and he had,
okay.
You could tell he ran the area, you know, just by...
He didn't care.
Yeah, yep, so...
He was
so
like
anyway,
the dude that almost stabbed you guys at the gas station.
Yeah, with this broken tongue.
Come on, you're talking shit. My mic is on.
shut the fuck up, Steve. Right,
so anyway, I'm trying to think, there's a hunting show where the two brothers, what's their names? The Kiefer brothers. They actually, they hunted a deer and they called him Buck Norris, and they name all their deer. So I don't know why that came to me, but it did, and I just went with Buck Norris because in my mind he was the biggest, baddest, toughest dude on the property.
Makes sense.
So yeah, he's a badass. So I called him Buck Norris. So anyway, it stuck. So, long story short, it was like probably November 14th or something like that. And I did my first, like I said, I wasn't an all-day sitter. But out there, it's worth it because there's giants.
Yeah, you never
there.
Know.
Yeah, you never know what's going
to happen. You have that unknown type motivation to keep you there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm sitting there, and at 11 o'clock, here comes the nice 8-pointer. And I'm like, oh, crap. So he comes down, he turns, he's going to go right down. We have this little trail that the previous owner took an excavator on and kind of leveled out a place where he can drive in. And it's such a funnel and a highway that my son Zach came up with this name. He said, are we going to move that stand down there on Death Row? And I'm like, Death Row? That's badass.
That's a cool
one. I'm like, all right, that's going to stick. So
Zach's a punk, by the way.
Yeah.
I like Zach a lot, man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Has he been hunting out there?
Not yet. I just got his bow set up the other night. He's
get him
ready
in here so
now.
I can talk some shit in.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk total shit
needs,
to him.
Yeah, he needs to get out there. Definitely.
But I'm cooler than you, so he'll listen to me.
Yeah. He don't listen to me. He's not Snapchat me. What's up with that?
So Death Row.
So Death Row. So anyway... There's Death Row, and then it drops down 4 feet, and there's another, I started calling it Lower Death Row.
Uh-huh.
So basically, it's two highways that the deer travel through right along the creek. So anyway, I'm sitting there at 11 o'clock. Here comes this 8-pointer. He's coming broadside. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot that deer. That's a nice buck.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew who it was. So I ranged it already. It's 36 yards. He's coming broadside. He gets right there perfect. I draw back. And do the old mouth grunt thing. He stops and looks, and I'm like, oh, he's done. But I shoot a thumb release, and the way I execute my thumb release is I got to, you know, pull back with my elbow. Execute my shot with the back muscles.
Rolls it in
yep.
How you should shoot it.
Well, this is the first time I'm using these ladder stands where they're brand new, and my dad and I put the gun rests on them because we're going to gun hunt this year. We never gun hunt because we didn't have a place to go, but now we're going to. So we put the gun rests on, which I never would do before. So anyway, I'm like trying to pull, and I feel my elbows up against that flip-up gun rest. I'm like, oh, I already grunted him. I need to shoot. So I'm like, I got to lean forward in order to get my elbow off that gun rest. I lean forward, and it goes off.
Oh,
and I'm
fuck.
Like, oh, shit. It goes perfect left and right, but it goes 1 inch underneath his belly and completely misses him and sticks in the ground. He kind of jumps and takes off about 5 yards and looks around like, what the hell was that? So then he slowly walks across the creek and disappears. I'm like, oh, shit. My first deer, first chance, first good one I've seen. So that's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, great, there goes my day. And I'm like, oh, well, it still could be some midday movement. 1 o'clock, I just happened to look over to where that deer came from. Same exact trail. All of a sudden, boom, big, here comes Buck Norris. Yeah. Same trail, and he's giant. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, he's probably, that year, he's probably 155.
Big deer.
Flirting with 160.
Yeah.
The body was huge. But I figured he was a 4.5-year-old. But for me, that's a giant. I don't see deer like that very often.
No, no one does.
Yeah, right? So
it's
he's
rare,
coming
anyway.
Right down that same trail, just walking slow as can be. I'm like, oh, my God, I got this. So I already got my HHA set at 36. I scoot forward a couple inches on my stand.
You're ready now.
I'm not hitting that damn thing again. So I'm standing there with my bow in my hand, ready to go. And he gets behind these two big trees as he's walking, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to draw right now. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, over on the gravel road to the west of me, about 60, 70 yards, it sounds like he hears a noise, and I hear it too. But it sounds like if you were to stand on a road and take like a rock and drop it, and it goes, that's all it was, that little noise. But he did not like it. He froze and stopped and looked straight over there and started doing the head bob thing, you know, where he's trying to get figure out what the hell is going on. So there he is standing broadside at 36 yards in front of me, and there's two 10-inch diameter trees side by side. I can see his head and his neck, and I can see his hind quarter and his ass. The whole entire midsection's covered. I couldn't even gut shoot him if I wanted to do something unethical, which I would never do.
Right.
But I couldn't even do that.
You had no options.
Yeah, there was no options. So I'm like, oh, shit. So then I start getting nervous. Oh, crap. Oh, crap. And I tell myself, calm down. He's going to calm down. He's going to start walking. As soon as he does, meh, you got this. As soon as he calms down, he turns right 90 degrees, walks straight behind those two trees all the way to the creek, crosses the creek, and goes up to the ridge. I'm like, I had one place where I rearranged him at 42 yards, but it was in a hurry and through some brush. And I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Too far for that.
Yep,
type of
I'm
shit.
Not even playing around. This is the big deer I want to kill.
Shit. That's how it works with them big boys.
I know, right?
I'm There's like a mystique around them. They know where to stop and how to stop. You know,
I'm like, I've been sitting here all day and I haven't heard one goddamn noise. The second this clown gets over here, they fucking whatever that shit.
What was it? What was
I don't even know. I don't know. It could have been a squirrel. Who knows?
Right.
It was just some stupid, strange noise, and he did not like it. And he was walking towards a road. So he was within 70 yards of a gravel road. So he knew where he was going to go anyway. I'll just turn here and go across the creek instead. He probably would have gone another 20 yards where the main creek crossing is.
Right.
And I would have smoked him. Well, I would have shot at him. So anyway.
Confidence.
Mark. Okay. Yeah, right.
I would have smoked
his ass. Smoked
him.
I had
smoked him.
He was already in the truck. He was already in the truck.
You would have waxed his
ass. Yeah.
I would have waxed his fool.
You're about to wax his fool.
So anyway, there's more. There's more. It gets worse. Actually, like, whatever, 2 weeks later, it's shotgun season. So, anyway, I sat there all day, and it paid off. 1 o'clock, he came through. So, anyway, so I go, like, I think the first shotgun season, I think it was Saturday of last year. Remember, it snowed like mad?
Yeah.
Like, it snowed all freaking day long. Like, we got 6 inches of heavy, wet snow or something. So me and my dad sat out in that crap all day long. I was in the same stand, and I didn't see a deer. I'm like, it's freaking November 18th, 19th. What the hell? I'm in heaven, Buck City, you know?
Yeah.
Why the hell? So anyway, about 4 o'clock, I see a buck come off the hill in front of me at an angle, and he's going to the right, and I'm like, he's not going to come over. So I turn around, grab my grunt call, hit the grunt call a couple times. He kind of looks at me, but he don't care. He's not coming. He's going the other way. I couldn't tell exactly what he was, but he looked like he's close enough, you know, size to shoot.
Yeah.
So anyway, after I realized he wasn't coming, I turn and hang up my grunt call, and I turn back around, and I look right on that same trail where them bucks came from before, and here's Buck Norris. And he's coming like – he's got his eyes peeled up there because he heard me grunt.
Ready to rock, yeah.
He heard me grunt, and he came up that little creek bank and was looking for, I mean, it was intense. He's like, was looking for the buck that made that noise. And, of course, there was no decoy there, so he stares and he head bobs and he's looking, he's head bobbing. And I got my shotgun laying across my legs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I can't move. And here's this giant 10-pointer, like,
right.
I'm crapping my pants. Like, oh, my God, he's giant. So, anyway, I know I can't move. So, I don't move. Well, then he calms down, and he starts to turn, and he turns at, like, a 45-degree angle. And I go, oh, here's my shot. I got this. I grab my gun. I turn. I put the bead right on him. I click the safety off, and he finishes turning and shows me butthole. And he goes, drops right down into that creek again.
Oh.
He was already on the edge of the creek, so he took two steps and was gone. I couldn't even see him no more. That's how deep this creek bank
Holy
is.
Holy shit.
Damn. You know, I could have bracket Texas heart shot his ass, but...
yeah, why?
But I don't do that.
Yeah.
So
you wanted to booyah
him. I got too much respect for him, so I let him go, and
you
then I'm like...
You wanted a Buzz Bracket fan.
I'm like, do I call? Do I call? Do I rattle? What do I do? You know, what do I do? I got to get him to come back. And I'm like, no, he knows there's no deer here.
Right.
Don't educate him, stupid. Just let him go.
Smart
He's
move.
Coming here. Damn. You'll get him next time. And after I stopped thinking that, I'm like, oh, God, I can't believe that happened. I hear, boom!
Shit.
Like 200 yards away from me on the east side of the fence. I know there's two
ladders.
Where
he went.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, no.
They got that spike buck.
What about me?
Smoked.
Oh, yeah.
What about me? Did you just hear Mark off in the distance? It's like, you know how you hear a distant coyote sometimes? What about me?
What about me? Oh, shit. I hope you missed, you asshole.
Damn,
so anyway.
Oh, man.
I hear one shot, okay? And then, like, probably 2 minutes later, while I'm still crying, I hear up the hill farther, I hear boom, boom, and I'm like, so what happened? Did the first guy miss him and the second guy smoke him as he's running by? Or did the first guy kill the first big one, Buck Norris, with one shot, and the other guy killed the other buck that I originally first saw that went that way?
And so I'm much like, mystery.
They could both be freaking dead now. So I'm pissed, of course. I go tell my dad what happened. He's like, I heard that shot. And I told him the story. He's like, oh, my God, Mark, no way. So I'm like, that's all right. We'll figure it out. Either we'll get him on camera or we won't, you know, and
yeah.
Can't do nothing about it. So I kept looking at my cameras, you know. You know
yeah.
How you don't want to go to your cameras?
You're antsy,
I went to
though.
My camera every week. You know? So I never got pictures of him ever again till December 14th or 20th or something like that.
So like a whole month.
Yeah, a whole month. He shows up on the food plot, and he's right in front of the camera broadside. And
do you
looking,
think he got shot at?
He's looking backwards. I mean, it's just this greatest picture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as soon as I'm going through my cards, you know how it is.
Yep.
And
yep.
I see him. I'm like, oh, he's alive. I call my dad. Hey, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So anyway, we never saw him again the rest of the season, and I hunted hard for him on the food plot. Thinking I had late season food plot, he'd come. So I didn't see him again. So, and then I ended up getting one more picture of him after the second shotgun season was over. So I'm like, all right, he's made it.
He made
past
it all
that.
The way through.
He looks healthy.
Safe zone.
He's not starving. He's probably good to go. He's done this before. He's 4 and a half. So
yep.
Anyway, then this year I start getting pictures, and I'm getting pictures of all these big deer. And I'm like, I don't have a picture of Buck Norris yet. What the hell? Where's
yeah.
he at? You know, getting all nervous. So then, like, I think it was last week or a week, maybe a week and a half ago or something like that, I sent a picture to Snap our group or whatever.
The OGs.
Yeah. And I'm like, guys, Buck Norris is back, and look at this dude. He's freaking huge. So, yeah, his body's like, I think he's 5 and a half now, and he's probably 22 inches inside spread.
Pull that picture up.
Easily, I'll bet you. And
we're going to break him down here on the podcast.
His G2s and G3s have got to be, and I'm going to be conservative, but they're at least 12, if not 14 inches long. Both of them. And then his G4s are probably.
Doug and I are going to throw a number at him.
Probably a
I'll
solid
throw a number.
Four.
At him. Yeah. Let me throw a number first. Or do you want to throw a number first?
No, you got it.
Both of you look at the picture and then say it like the same time.
I can
Ooh,
tell you.
I like
so
that.
You can't judge.
Sometimes they're hard, man, because sometimes you look at different things, you know.
Uh-huh. I could tell right. you what I'm guessing, but I probably won't.
Let's do this
after,
then.
Let me throw a number at him, too.
How about this? How
Doug's
about this?
Doug's been negative recently.
I've been a little. I was 3 inches off of Austin, so
it's pretty good. I've been pretty loose lately. I've been letting my loose. Okay. But this is him this year.
That's him this year.
Okay, so here's what we should do. I'm gonna look at it. Steve's gonna look at it. Doug's gonna look at it. Cameron, if you want to look at it. And then I'll do a 3, 2, 1. Everybody says their okay. number, but it's going to get lost in the audio.
No, right. no. Just do it.
So describe describe what you think he looks like to you.
Okay.
Spread.
I see a very wide buck. I would say he is.
No numbers. No numbers.
Oh, you don't want me to say
no,
numbers.
You can't.
No, because it's going to bias everybody.
It's going to give me
right, but I kind of wanted. I kind of wanted him to be able to do that for the listeners, though.
Okay. Not yet.
We're all going to look.
So for the listeners out here, I'm looking at this trail cam photo. It's at night. He is definitely a mature animal, like heavy neck, heavy body. He is a very wide 10. I mean, he's got good brows, good twos, good threes, decent fours. His beams and width is what's
his
winning this buck.
His beams and width are what's going to give him a score.
I'm saying, nope. I'm not going to say it right now, but I got to calculate. Fuck, that's he's a tough one, man.
He is a tough one.
Calibrate your eyeballs.
Enhance.
All quiet.
Okay. I got my number.
All right, damn, he's got his number.
It's like,
right, here's my number.
It's like Jeopardy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit is right.
Is that your number, yeah. Steve?
Damn,
your number just got bigger, didn't it? He's a
so
big...
he's got, oh, okay, because.
I don't know if I remember seeing him.
Huh?
I don't know if I remember seeing him
you
in
got,
the chat.
I've been doing it in the chat.
Actually, Steve, you could probably say your number and nobody cares.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen him yet. But...
He's a solid fella.
I'm going to say my number.
No, don't say it yet.
Don't say it yet.
No, don't say it yet. Not
don't
yet.
Ruin it. Don't pass, ruin it for our listeners.
Pass that shit.
And I'm not going gross or net. I'm just going to what I think he will measure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, total.
In general,
total.
Just right. what he is.
So that's right,
gross. I'm going to write my number down.
Yeah, gross, whatever.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That'd be good.
That's write what I was thinking, too. We could pass a little paper around. But
got a notepad right
no,
there,
we
got to
say it, actually, though, because right. that way people can hear it. Otherwise,
yeah, but that way we know Steve isn't lying because Steve is Steve.
I literally just wrote my number down.
Okay.
I wrote it down in my hand.
Yeah, I do remember seeing him actually now.
Yeah.
Okay. I need a pen. Actually, I know my.
Here, I got a Sharpie.
I know mine. Fine.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Give me just a second because I'm still 'kay. Torn on him, and I looked at him more than anybody.
Total inches, right?
I'm more impressed with Steve. Just wrote his number with a Sharpie on hand, and then showed me like an asshole. Total and I'm more impressed with his number than I thought I would be.
Right?
Yeah. yeah.
What'd you see my number do?
Here, you know, are you going to stick to your number? Let's just go in a loop.
Okay. Right.
I'll be truthful. I won't change my shit. Well, I'm going first, so it's up to you guys to be truthful.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going 167 clean.
Oh, really?
Clean 10.
Oh, really? Okay.
I on my hand, you're seeing it. I went 168 and 7/8.
Ooh.
Yeesh. I'm at like 156.
Really?
You're
low. You're low.
I think you're way low.
I'm saying 158.
I
don't
think I am. I do, too.
I'm saying 158.
I'm gonna say gross. He's gonna be right at like Steve. I'm gonna say he's gonna be pushing maybe 170.
He's 167.
Let me see that picture.
Let me break him down. 167, 168, 169, 170. Somewhere within those 4 inches in my.
You mean
mind.
Like 168 and 7/8?
Yeah,
that buck's in 22 inside, and he's got a minimum 25 beams.
Yeah, exactly. His beams are super.
His
long.
Fours are what are killing him from being 170.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, if his that fours deer, were longer,
he's not 170.
You know,
I would say
no.
All his tines are killing him. Really.
Why? What?
They all should be longer.
That's an asshole move.
Yeah, I don't think.
I'm just saying. I don't think he's going to make 160.
Shut the hell up, Doug.
I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah, but look at the beams and width. His mass is average, but those beams are 25 minimum.
Right.
I don't think they sweep as far forward as you think.
They're longer than you think, though.
They're longer because look at.
Then that's a bad picture.
A buck doesn't hold gapped out twos, threes, fours to end from the four to the tip of the main beam like that.
Yeah.
Like. This buck, my buck here is not nearly as gapped out as that.
Right.
And this buck's beams right here are 21 inches.
Yeah, but if they're going out like that, you're not going to have that sweeping.
I'm telling you, man, the Geyer buck has 27 inch beams, and I've stared at that buck my whole life.
It's the first thing.
And this deer is close to that.
Yep.
This deer's got 25 beams minimum.
Yeah.
I would say.
Sure. There's only one way to find out.
I know. You better kill him.
Just think if he's got 25 beams and he's got 22 inside, that deer's 22 inside.
Oh, yeah.
Mark,
for sure.
Mark,
for sure.
Mark, listen. I'm going to be the project manager for this deer. I need you to kill that deer within 2 weeks.
Okay. No problem.
So I just kill a deer within 2 weeks.
I will say,
no problem.
He's not 170 because his brows and his fours.
Right. Those two things are a little bit short. But I don't know if he would make up for it because the beams are so long.
If I was betting serious money, I'd say 164 to 167.
Yeah. Yeah. My original thought was 160, and then the more I look at him, I went to 165, and then I think my heart wants him to be 170.
Not 170. Well, of course it does.
I'm going to kill him now.
So would you guys believe me if I saw a low 130s buck?
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
So did you see one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Cool. Right.
But then, would you believe me if I saw a buck that was... maybe a little bigger than that.
I'm just saying that buck's frame. He's bigger than 150. What'd you say? 155.
Yeah, he's.
I said 156.
He's way bigger.
He's got to be 160.
I don't know.
He's not under.
My mom's was 160, and it's pretty comparable to that.
Oh, your mom's buck is only 160.
158.
Really?
Oh, G2s and G3s are bigger.
I've only seen that. I've only seen that deer in trophy photos, though. I know how
that's true.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look at that picture again. Is it on
your
Facebook
page? There
were
two trophies in that photo.
No.
Apparently, it does,
it's
right?
On my Facebook.
That deer is not under 160. I don't think.
Mark's better shoot it, so we find out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Mark, kill it and let us know.
Tanks with me, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
On the next episode that Mark's on, he kills that deer.
You
actually
got beams and width like that.
Yeah,
he's got 50 inches in beams, man.
Yeah, he does.
He's got 50 inches in beams and 22 inches in spread.
Yep.
He does.
I'm seeing a nighttime photo where the antlers and everything are lit up, and it makes it look more.
Oh,
yeah, but you break it down and you look at it logically. You don't look at it as a deer as a whole and the rack as a whole. You break it down like you look at how the beam curves and sweeps over around and how gapped out the tines are. If the tines were close together, closer, then I would be like, okay, he's probably got 22 inch beams.
Average
beams.
I'm afraid that you guys are not seeing the frame.
That deer.
Listen, this deer has been eating at Gapplebee's, homie. So.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Gapplebee's. That deer right there.
Shut up. Mark, kill that deer so I can prove Tank wrong and I'm right.
I think that deer at the smallest is 160. At the smallest.
Yeah, right. I do too. That deer right there that I just got was 22 5/8. So those main beams are 22 5/8.
That buck's got 25 inch beams.
Absolutely.
All day
long. Absolutely.
All day long.
Not if his beams are going.
Yeah, but see,
but
I know
they
what
curve
you're saying.
Back through. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I've measured a fuck ton of deer, dude. I know what 25 inch beams look like.
I know what you're saying.
There we go. There we go. I love it.
There's a lot of deer that are wide like that go straight out and they don't. I know
don't curve back in.
They don't have long beams.
Yeah.
And so you're gonna get that real big gap in between the tines that you're seeing there.
Yeah, but his beams curve back in.
Curve back in and go forward.
His beams don't go out. Because
after the podcast, I'll get some pictures from last year and show. I'll pull them up and show you.
Beams have
there's
to
more
go.
More info, and you're just giving us that.
Your inside spread cannot be longer than your beams.
Uh-huh.
Even if you
that
had
deer's
the
beams
though, even if you had the beams, the mass and tine length, I just don't think you're gonna make it.
Yeah, but that buck's got 10-11 inch twos and 10-11 inch threes.
Oh, yeah,
his
fours
aren't big. If his fours were 8-9 inches, then he'd be. I think that deer could push 170.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
He's got average mass, and he's got okay tine length, but his beams and his width are what win that deer over. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If that deer had
kill him, then we'll figure it
Mark,
out.
Mark, fucking kill
we'll
him
score,
so we can put
we'll
this shit
right
to rest.
The
if that buck had average beam length to his tine length and mass, then I would be on board with
what
you guys are saying.
He'd be 150 something. Yep.
But I think he's got that little boost on his width and that little boost on his beams that are pushing him to that.
All right.
that next level.
Mark needs to kill this deer so we can put this bullshit to rest. So if you don't kill this deer, you're a piece of shit. All right?
Well, I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying. Jesus, Steve. I'll tell you what. I passed a nice 8-pointer tonight that I probably would have shot any other day of my life. So
Mark's on the hunt.
I've been sitting all days already, and I'm going to sit all day tomorrow.
Have you ever been on the hunt of a giant deer like this?
Not like this. Not one that I know, and I have pictures of, and I almost shot twice. And
this is
personal, dude. Now
this is Kirby deer because you have some impressive deer. So this is like your deer that you're like, yo, I'm gonna kill this fucker.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's it. My dad's like, dude, you're literally going crazy.
I would be too.
Well, you
got it. I'm pumped. I'm hoping you kill this fucker.
Yeah. But then the other day, remember that deer I showed you the other day? I'm like, dude, I don't know what that one would score, but he's probably about the same score.
If you showed me two deer, be like, yeah, I got this one.
Giant,
like,
Doug would probably call him a 140.
Did you look at that?
It's a fucking yearling, dude. Pass him.
Remember, did you see the pictures in the OG thing where I sent the rubs?
I saw the rubs, yeah.
And then the buck that made it?
I didn't see that.
I'll have to show you.
Oh, yeah. He's
all right, should we wrap this up?
Way bigger.
We're kind of dwindling down.
Let's get lost in that
OG's chat.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Hold on. Doug needs to see this picture. I remember the picture you're talking about. This thing is a lot bigger.
Let me see this picture.
Damn it, Tank. Look at Doug crossing his legs.
I feel like you guys sided, and then me and Doug made a really good point, or me and Mark made some really good points. You guys were being hard-headed and didn't want to agree with us.
Yeah, you guys are some Iowa boys.
I'm sticking to it.
What'd you say, 156?
I said 156. I think the highest he'll go is 162.
I don't think this deer is a lot.
We're really not that
bigger.
Far off, honestly.
Not really.
He's got better G4.
Yeah, but you have a different picture.
It's weird to say, but like, think about it, it's only inches.
Oh, the one where I zoomed in.
It is only
inches. It just sounds a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not that much different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, beams and mass on a deer, or beams and width, make a big difference.
Hey, you know what?
Then I blew it up.
By the way,
right, hold on. Mark, you guys are having a separate conversation from the podcast. Yeah,
by the way, Doug, shut the hell up. Kurt was proud of me for once.
This buck is bigger.
Yeah. You think?
Purely off timeline.
Yeah. Because he's got sweet G4s.
I don't know what that deer's width looks like.
I know. That's what's throwing me. I don't know for sure. But
ooh, what do you think on this one, Doug? I'm curious.
I'm going to check that bad boy out.
Fuck you, Steve. Pass that straight over to Doug.
Come on. Let me make a prediction, dog. Let me go two for two.
After Doug.
I think by the time you take the mass and the beam length of the other one, that they're going to be fairly close to each other. But I do think this one would score higher.
That deer scores higher.
We're talking about total inches
I'll
here.
Agree. That deer score higher.
Yeah.
That deer, I don't know what its width looks like.
So now,
even if you put average, I mean,
if that deer's got 20 inch width, he's 170.
He looks like he's got 18 to 20 inch width in my mind. Just
that deer's
guessing.
170.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
my bet. What do you think, Doug? Come on, give me 170.
Yeah, I got him at 165, 170.
Dude, you don't have twos, threes, and fours like that.
167 and 3/8.
I will agree with you.
You 167 and 3/8. You're on. Shut up, Doug. You stupid.
3 inches off,
dude. I'm surprised he didn't break his beams.
Doug, you're
off.
A dumb idiot.
I know.
Let me let you know how big
he's not,
this deer
is. Not bigger than your 169?
No.
No?
You know what? By the way, a friend of the show, Aaron Calderon, just shot a deer that looks exactly like this. It was 173. This deer is 171 and 1/8 all day.
Cool.
Allison Rauscher shot a 173.
My guy.
173 at Allison's, right? Hers was 173.
Jesus.
And it's big like that.
Yeah.
This buck's got short beams.
Yeah, they're not as long. But they're still long. They're just not like buck
Norris.
You got
to see like a front profile.
Yeah, you can't see the brow tines. You can't see.
If this buck over here has 22 5/8 beams.
Dude, this deer's super tight. That's a 150 deer. Like his
24, 25.
At least.
At least.
I'm refraining from my 170. We got a zoomed look.
Yeah.
He's mid-160s.
So now I don't know what to do.
Kurt, 169.
You know what I mean?
Say it. He's 165 to 170. Still
so
big.
Now I don't know what to do because these two deer are
I'll
different.
I'll tell you what.
They're
whatever
different
walks
places.
In first, just
that's,
shoot him.
Yeah, that's
you just
what
shoot
I'm
him
doing.
And we'll know.
Exactly.
Fuck. Okay, let's close this podcast out.
Wait, yeah. can I do one serious thing?
I got to go all day sitting.
What do you want to do? Shut up. I'm going to do one serious thing. A very good, a longtime listener of the podcast, big supporter of the show, our good buddy Kevin Dye.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Sparky. He just recently broke his back. I don't know if he is hunting or not. dude, he's been there since it seems like day one.
Yeah.
Want to give a shout out to him. He's doing fine. His wife has provided us with some awesome updates on Facebook. Kevin, brother, we're thinking about you. We love you to death. I hope you have a speedy recovery. Obviously, his season's done for now. But Kevin's a hardworking dude out there on the East Coast in Boston. Good guy. Dude, yep. he's grinding every day, but, you know, the shit sucks. Kevin, we love you to death. If you guys are out there and you can find Kevin on Facebook or Instagram, wherever he's at, send him some love, man. Wish him a speedy recovery. He's going to need it. He's got a wife. I believe he has two kids. Love this guy to death, dude. He's
been the first guy. Like we launch a new hack, he's the
always
first guy.
He's always the first guy. So man, it just it sucks when you know when bad shit has to happen to good people that we know. So I do want to send a heartfelt, Kevin, brother, if you're listening to this, speedy recovery.
He probably shut this off by now.
he's like
he shut it off earlier at our.
He's
tirade.
Like God damn, dude. He's like. Dude, I'd rather fucking die than listen to these fucks. But, you
I'll
know.
Say that. No, I second that. I second that.
Yeah.
Best wishes, Kevin.
Yeah, best wishes, brother. Kevin.
We're thinking about you, homie.
Yep.
You got this, brother.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to add.
Closer out there?
Yep.
Yep.
Good luck to everyone out there. Kill one. Be safe. Look at the podcast is with you. We love you. Go shoot your bow.